a gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to KSL Outdoors Radio. Those of you that have listened for a while know that anytime this music shows up on the show, we're about ready to talk a little Mule Skinner blues with the old Mule Skinner himself. Yeah, better known around here as WYO Charlie. Charlie Jennings is with us this morning. So I'm on Facebook earlier this morning, and I see this ad, sort of, with your face and one of your mules on it. And we've documented the fact that this is a great new thing for you. It's sort of the next chapter in your life. You've done quite a bit of exploring and sharing some of those stories with us on the back of your mules. Oh, wait, I got to get this in here. There we go. All right. And then I see that you maybe are looking to unload one, and I wondered what is happening. So I text you, and Gracie, I guess, is fell out of Gracie with you.
Kind of fell out of grace a little bit. The rose-colored glasses came off.
Well, let me...
You know, when I got it. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say, let me just read your response to me, because it was funny, if I can get my phone to jump in here.
Okay.
I'm not going to read all of it. That would get us both in trouble today. I said, you selling a mule? You said, yes, Gracie. She's lovely, but too hot, too Ferrari for me. What does that mean exactly?
Well, believe it or not, they have personalities.
Yeah.
I got some that are extroverts that are just like a big Labrador, and you got some that are introverts, and they hold it in. And Gracie's one of those that, she holds a lot of emotions in, and you gotta work her, warm her up. You gotta do groundwork to just realize that she's not gonna die today. They're a prey animal, and everything else is a predator. And she's always nervous, and she's just kind of a high octane Ferrari.
Mm.
Somebody that is more experienced than I have, only been riding since January, as you know, can deal with that. But, oh, man, if I try to get on too quick, too fast, sometimes I have to span a couple of circles and just to kind of get her to realize the sky wasn't falling.
Yeah.
And everything's going to be fine.
Well,
but
you've kind of answered my next question already, and that was, you know, when somebody calls you up because you are letting people know you have a good animal that you're looking to sell, and you tell these stories, does it scare people away, or are you just looking for the right person to take her?
Just looking for the right person, somebody that's got more experience than I have accumulated so far. You know, my confidence level is at a certain point, but I'm 65. I'm not 20 anymore.
Yeah.
And I don't bounce as well as I used to.
So if she bucks you off, it takes a while to recover from that, right?
Yeah, we were in the pasture and I got on and she got excited and was determined I was going to go off, and I did. And when I was laying there on the ground, she just stood there and looked at me. So
yeah.
We had a lot of things going on at the house, blowing leaves, making a lot of racket. We had a tractor here moving some gravel. So all of that gets internalized inside of her. And plus, with it being winter time, they feel good.
Yeah.
They just, it's not hot. They, and you know, here they're eating. I haven't ridden her for 3 or 4 weeks because of open enrollment, and I made a mistake and got too overconfident and kind of let a few of the pre-flight checks go by the wayside, and she reminded me.
Yeah.
So,
well, speaking of reminders, when you say you couldn't ride because of open enrollment, I just want to remind everybody that what you do for a real job these days is help people figure out their Medicare, Medicaid stuff. So
I do.
This is this is a busy time of year. All right, so I thought it would be sort of instructional for somebody that may be looking to get a mule that they could ride and have some of the adventures and see the beautiful things that you've seen in the outdoors and have this relationship with an amazing animal. What they should be looking for, questions they should ask when they choose a mule to bring into the family.
See if the mule chooses you, like the one I bought yesterday. I went over to the gate and just watched this mule, and she looked at me, I looked at her, and she came walking over to me.
Hmm.
And I thought, okay. And so they kind of choose you.
Like the girl at the church dance, right?
Yes, sir. And I, you know, I went inside and brushed her shoulder, and she had been rolling in the mud, which they love to do, and I got one of those metal scrapers and scraped all the mud off. She just stood there. And you look for, well, I'll tell you a few warning signs. If they have their head down, their ears are relaxed, their eyes are soft, they're not swishing their tail, then you're going to get along. If their head's elevated, their eyes are big as baseballs, you better get out of the way.
So Gracie ended up having a little more spirit than you actually knew.
Yeah.
Is this the one you traveled across the country to get?
No, this is the one I bought in Tucson.
Ah, got you.
Sight unseen. And, oh, man, I love riding her, you know, when she's warmed up. And I haven't given her grain. That's not a good idea either, unless you've been working them, because that's kind of like giving them a case of Mountain Dew.
Yeah.
But I took her to the Wind Rivers for 7 or 8 days, and I ponied a mule behind her, and she was absolutely flawless. She's gated, and I could ride her all day long and never get sore. And when we came back,
she was in a more relaxed environment there then.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
No, she was in her element. She loved the mountains. And when I was coming out on Saturday from the Wind Rivers, I just put my hand on the saddle horn, and she did the rest. We were going up those switchbacks up the side of the mountain, and very task-oriented, like we're going home, and I'm going to the trailer, and get out of my way, and I'll get you there.
Yeah.
And so she's amazing.
My brother has horses, and I've ridden a couple of times in my life. Had a scary moment when I was riding with my uncle one day, and we were going through town. And he was ahead of me, and I was on an Arabian, which are known to be known to be a little flighty, and the wind was blowing, and obviously you're right along a roadside. When his horse got a little too far away, she started to race to get there and lost her footing on the asphalt, and we both went down. And so There is an intricate relationship that you've done a really good job of explaining to us when we check in with you on your trips. But you have to have trust in them. They have to have trust in you, or it's not enjoyable for either one of you.
That's right, and they can feel it. One thing about Gracie, when I'd climb in the saddle, it's like plugging in my hard drive to my soul. And she was reading my emotions. And, Arabians, they can be...
But beautiful. Also, such a beautiful horse.
Beautiful, yes.
All right, so anybody that's out there listening, and I feel like I'm a little bit of a small-town swapping shop old radio show here, but seriously, hopefully people have listened to you share your stories in the field and said, man, that is really something I've dreamed of. This sounds like a good animal for the right person. How do they get a hold of you? What should they know?
435-764-1111 is my cell phone. Either call me or text me. She's a beautiful animal with a lot of life, a lot of years left in her. And somebody that's got, like I said, more experience than I do and maybe younger, she'd be a perfect fit.
You feel bad letting her go or no?
Yes, it's hard because I put my heart and soul into her thinking, oh, she's the chosen one. And I just needed something a little more calm.
Yeah. And
then I put my grandmother on or my grandkids.
Some 65-year-olds are actually looking for a Ferrari, not you, huh?
Nah, I'm past that.
All right. Charlie, thanks. You said you're willing to share the story. I couldn't wait to do it. But it's always good catching up with you. Thanks.
Yeah, you take care. Thanks so much.
All right, we're going to take a break. Let's see. When we come back, one final segment. Stay with us.
Two years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andreas Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at KSLPodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
A couple of minutes of the show, and while I'm waiting to record one more segment for the outdoor show, I just want to tell you that we successfully made contact with Bob Grove on his planned hike down there in warmer air. And unfortunately, as sometimes happens with computers, anybody that deals with one at the office or the home knows, once in a while it jumps up and nips you, and it got us today. So unfortunately, we're not going to be able to share that conversation with you. It was really fantastic, and I wanted to say thank you to SkyCall for helping to make that connection with a satellite phone. Bob was indeed out of cell phone range today, but maybe we'll catch up with him and have him share some of his experiences down there. I'm really bummed out about that. But anyway, it gave me time, however, while I was trying to work through the computer problems, to take a look at the ski report, the snow totals from the storm that passed through here early Friday morning yesterday, as you're listening to this program. And like usually happens with the lake effect snow, the Cottonwoods really got hit hard with 12 inches, maybe a little bit more by the time it all passed over the Wasatch Mountain Range. So a foot or more in places like Solitude and Brighton, Alta, Snowbird, they really got hit. But 9 to 10 inches, that was the early report on Friday on the other side, on the Wasatch Back, as we like to call it, for Park City and Deer Valley. So lots of good snow to get up there and enjoy, and we should have a little break as you listen to this on Saturday, and then another round of storm activity coming tomorrow. So if you've got travel plans, make sure and work that in. Also meant to mention this while we had Navinovskis on the air, but he is long gone down to Las Vegas, and will be in just a little while on his way back this way, I think, because he wants to get in some skiing and take advantage of the new snow. But he would have loved to find out that we had $450,000 allocated to enhance some of Utah's best fishing spots through the Blue Ribbon Fisheries Program. We bragged those up, of course. 16 different projects aimed at enhancing these water bodies. There are currently 44 water bodies and two mountain areas. That's Utah's streams, lakes, and rivers on the Uinta and Boulder Mountains that hold this Blue Ribbon status. And that Blue Ribbon program dates all the way back to the early 2000s when then-Governor Mike Leavitt was formally established this in 2005 through an executive order. But I just wanted to mention a couple of these projects that are going to be worked on. One is the renovation of the dike at Navajo Lake. It's been deteriorating over the years, resulting in a couple of dam failures that they want to make sure they get taken care of. Recreation improvements coming to Recapture Reservoir. That project's going to improve boat ramps and install a courtesy boat dock there. And recovery analysis at Huntington Creek. The Seeley Fire back in 2012 really devastated that fishery at Huntington Creek after habitat improvement projects and fish restocking. The fishery has struggled to fully recover, so they're going to be taking a closer look at that to find out why. But in 2021, just last year, 19 Blue Ribbon Fisheries projects and initiatives were completed, and over the decade, The Blue Ribbon Program had funded 173 projects, allocating $3.2 million toward improving these remarkable Utah fisheries, something we take great pride in. So I just wanted to, as we wrapped up the show, to make that point today and say hats off to the Division of Wildlife Resources for that, and hats off to all of the funding that came our way, both from the feds and from local monies that go to it, plus the volunteer time, which should not go unnoticed. By the way, speaking of satellite phones, as I did a minute ago, if you are looking to have a little extra level of safety when you head out on your next adventure, or you want to share it with us, we always encourage it. Get a hold of SkyCall Satellite. You can do that at 801-450-8317. That is going to do it for the Outdoor Show for another week. Don't go away. The Greenhouse is coming up on the other side. We also have Cougar Basketball pregame from Vivint Arena. We'll start at 12:30, and we'll have the tip-off at 1:30 here on the home of the Cougars, KSL. Have a great weekend. We'll be back Monday morning. I will be, along with Amanda Dixon, with Utah's Morning News starting at 5.
It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.